Hey, this is Julie Brown. You're listening to Dunkin' Donuts on CITR 101.9 FM.
It's that time again. It's Dunkin' Donuts here on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish nations. At the top, we heard the Lost Lovers Brigade, a great band from their 2011 record Little Skeletons. That was the song Lonely Neighbors. We're all lonely neighbors these days, not really getting to hang out with each other. And that goes out to my pal Jeff Kincaid. We had a nice chat the other day and tried to get over that lonely neighbor feeling that we all have. On today's show, we're going to have a special chat with Jason Zampano of the Cyrillic Typewriter and Jazz Records, formerly of Sparrow, and the band's Glee, and and Zampano. It's a pretty wide-ranging conversation. We start talking about the Wise Club, which is a place that he works, a little update on how they're doing, and then we talk about his band, the Cyrillic Typewriter, and Jazz Records, and then we take a bit of a walk down memory lane. So it was a very enjoyable conversation. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But first, we're going to listen to a couple of tunes. We're going to listen to The Cyclones. They were a New York City band. They put out a record in 1983, and they've also recently been captured as part of Strum and Thrum, the American Jangle Underground, 1983 to 1987, a new compilation put out by Captured Tracks, which looks at the jangly pop rock music from the mid-80s. Probably the most famous exemplars of the style were REM, but there are lots of great bands that kind of fit that sound at the time. So we're going to hear The Cyclones with their song I'm in Heaven, and after that, Australia's The Shifters, also a new record out on Captured Tracks, and we're going to hear the song Left Bereft, and after that, my conversation with Jason Zampano, recorded a couple of days ago.
We're sitting here, it's 3 o'clock, we're still awake, the room is dark, we've got the time, it's falling into place, where will it end? And what you said was something that I didn't quite expect, and I'm in heaven now, it has to do with you.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Every second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women and Queer Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer-identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
Thank you.
Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Oh, I'm not bad. I'm hanging in there, yeah. You know.
So
doing what I do, whatever that is.
How so? You work some of the time at the Wise. So the Wise is going to go on hiatus. How has the Wise been getting by? Like, I mean, everybody's worried about venues in the city. What do you have any?
Wait a minute. Is this an interview with the Wise?
No.
Okay. No, I'm just joking. There's like a sorry. So I don't know if it's supposed to be like hush hush. I don't think so. But Lorne Michaels presents Apple TV miniseries SNL. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's like a dance comedy. So they've been rehearsing here for like 2.5 months.
Okay.
So they gave the Wise a chunk of cash.
Thank.
And they brought me back to do other things because that chunk of cash could pay for me to be here.
Right.
To deal with them but just deal with like getting this place. Like it was actually strangely in rougher shape without being used.
Huh.
I guess just the slow decay of the place.
Yeah, right.
But like it was kind of, you know, so yeah. But, you know, I was off for 6 months before that.
Yeah. And is there a plan to do some streaming or have some sort of events there, but not with an audience? Is that the idea?
Yeah. I think that they're trying to, I mean, I don't know if anyone's really sure how popular streaming will be, especially, yeah. I don't know, a few months from now, but that's kind of what they're hoping. And that's the kind of grant they're going for.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Redgate's had some success with that, and yeah, we will see.
Yeah.
But like you said, we're not here to talk about the Wise Hall. We're here to talk about you.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. Everyone wants to know, what the f*** is Jason doing? Sorry, I shouldn't swear.
That's okay.
You can bleep that out.
It's a noon hour show, my friend. Come on.
What the darn,
Well, I know one thing, you have a new record out. So it's called Permanent Colors, and
yeah.
It's... Under your moniker Cyrillic Typewriter. What?
Yes, that's true.
What? What's the story behind this record?
I think there's a story behind it. It's kind of about. Okay, I know this sounds really obvious, but it was actually recorded before COVID, or almost completed. It was actually about kind of like isolation and breaking out of isolation within oneself. I know that sounds a little bit depressing. It's not really. It's actually supposed to be hopeful. But then, you know, obviously all this stuff went down, so it seemed a little apropos. But, I mean, I recorded myself like I always do. Had a player or two come in. It's kind of my usual fare.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little more easier going than stuff, and then maybe a little less soundtracky, which is good.
Wow.
It's kind of soft. Everybody's saying the same thing. Oh, I love this. Like, I like this one. It's like, it's really easy to listen to. So I guess all this stuff before... Wasn't that
yeah, that's kind of a backhanded compliment.
So yeah, kind of, oh, totally, absolutely. Some of my friends work. Yes, it's less improvised jazz and more just jazz.
Yeah, and
but it's not actually jazz.
Yeah, it does feel like of a piece of your last few Cyrillic Typewriter records, like you know, mm-hmm. very very moody and instrumental.
Definitely moody.
Yeah. Why have you moved away from vocal pop and having singing on your records?
Oh, I can't really sing. I mean, you know that. I mean, I guess I could a little. I knew I wasn't going to do live shows anymore. Or at least that was my plan. And I was kind of thinking, well, why am I doing this then? Why am I singing these things? I might as well make pieces that can go to. And I think even way back, because I've been doing this a while now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the no singing. I thought maybe there'd be some, you know, some film to it, some visuals. That's been slow coming. It's only actually just started recently in the last few years.
Yeah.
That I've kind of embraced that, which is kind of cool. Like that Water Over Glass movie, that was great. Like that was a really amazing experience.
Yeah.
And I think I've always just thought, okay, I'm going to make this music and it's got to accompany something. It's not going to be like a pop record. I mean, in a weird little way, I miss it. I don't know if I'm really the best lyricist out there, too. And I, you know, sometimes I'll cringe if I hear something. You know, but you know, you're your own worst critic. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I've actually attempted a few times a few years ago to sing a few things. And I was like, ugh, it was terrible. I can't deal with this. You know, but you know, it's out there somewhere. But yeah, like the first really typewriter records, two of them were vocal.
Yeah, records. Yeah. So yeah, but you're growing and changing as an artist. That's
well, and also isn't it kind of like, you know, you you reach a certain age, it's like, who wants to hear this guy?
Like, I don't know about that.
Like, but... what kind of relevance? Anyway.
You mentioned that, I mean, it is kind of filmic, or like it has a soundtrack feel to it. And you did do a soundtrack to a short film called Water Over Glass. What was that process like? How did you meet up with those filmmakers?
Let's see. How did I met Amanda through mutual friends, Sydney, whoever. She kind of put the cast, the Iris Collective are kind of a response, like part of that. Zoe and Jimmy, I met through my friend Jason McLean. He's the animator.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I gave them the music and a story to base it on, a very basic story, but, you know, things that happen. And then they kind of did it backwards, right? Like, music was done, and they didn't, like, meet. They just kind of did it separately, with their fingers crossed, and then just kind of slapped it together, which is very abstract, of course, but I thought it turned out really well. I think we were all kind of surprised. And then, you know, being in VIF, too, it's like, oh, okay, that kind of validates it.
Yeah, that's great. Mean, it had that online showing recently as well, so that was cool.
Right, Antimatter in Victoria.
Yeah,
I mean, I have submitted to other festivals. It's usually a big fat no, but, you know, it's probably a slow burn. It's, you know, all these things are kind of a tough sell. You know, it's instrumental. It's, again, it's abstract. You know, it's like you can't, you know, it's funny because at the end it's like, story by, like, what story? There was a story to this? You know, it's like that kind of a movie.
Tone poem, I think. Anyway. That's what we call them.
Yeah, right. I actually just finished another movie.
Oh, really? Oh, cool. What's the story about that?
Yeah. do you know Jason McLean?
Well, I know of him, and I know he does the art for your pieces.
Yeah, of course. It is all my... Yeah, so Jimmy, the animator from Water Over Glass, him and I put a movie together. I directed it, and he animated it. And then Jason just... he literally gave us hundreds of drawings. He was a good sport about it. He got a little cranky after a while, because it's like, more? Because with animation, you really... need the same thing over and over and over again, which he cannot do for obvious reasons. So, but it does, it's animated and it moves, but it's not like your typical animation. But anyway, yeah, we did like a 18-minute short film. We're literally just finishing up.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. Do you have a name for it yet?
I hope. What You Are Out Here For.
Huh.
Yeah. Which is, you know, has to do with the story, but it's also something that Jason drew, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So, called it that.
Yeah, cool. I noticed, like,
so they'll come out next year.
So is that it,
what's that?
That's going to be a record, and then the film will accompany the record.
No, this is just a film that I did music for. It has not been released, or
right.
I mean, I could release it, but it's just one long. Well, it's not one long piece, but it's a bunch of pieces slapped together as one piece.
Yeah,
just for that film.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I noticed a lot of like familiar faces from record to record. So Ryan Dahl has mastered a bunch of your records, and Jason does the artwork.
True.
It's kind of nice that you have your like a company of people that you keep you know that you work with over and over again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a bubble, and I trust these people. And also, you know, I can give Jason a bunch of records, and he'll give them out to various people. Like, he's sort of my promotion.
Right, he's your hype man.
So, you know, I just ship him off to New York, and but it's true. Yeah, I worked with Terry Upton. There was a sax player I used for a couple records. I didn't use him for this new one.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, yeah, he actually mastered all of my records, I think. I mean, it's really typewriter records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe this is a sign that I should branch out.
No, I don't. If it ain't broke, why fix it? I don't. I think it's fine.
Maybe a bassoon or something.
And like, in addition to your own records, you also have a record label that you where you put out other people's records. What's Jazz Records about? How does that fit into your creative life?
Well, I put out my own records. That definitely fits into my creative life. Well, to the extreme.
Yeah.
That's basically why it exists. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I want it to be legit. I needed to have a legit label, and then, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like the stuff I put out. If I haven't put out that many records, I'm on number 20.
Yeah.
I guess that's a bit. And I, you know, I appreciate all the people I've worked with. Some of it's worked out, some of it hasn't. Right. You know, it's a very expensive hobby,
yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah.
Not as expensive as filmmaking, but it's up there.
Yeah.
Because I always press vinyl. That's the expensive part.
Mm-hmm. And time consuming as well.
I might be doing another record with Nick.
Oh, cool.
Next year. Yeah.
He's not very prolific, so it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's true. I know. He just put out a record. I think he's put out two records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the Chavison. I forget the name of that.
Exactly.
That record.
That's a great record.
And then the Pasadena Afternoon just came out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a machine. I mean, him and I are home all the time.
Yeah.
I live in the same house as him.
Right.
He's downstairs and I'm upstairs. So we have our little studio. So there's always something happening there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Big Pink or something. big yellow.
Big yellow.
More like it,
and you...
our house, yeah, what, yellow and burgundy.
And then you also play with your friend Sydney in Hello Blue Roses. You're on...
That's right.
Drums.
Yeah.
And what else do you play in that?
Yeah,
band?
I play drums. I just know just drums and percussion.
Okay.
A little singing. When we first started, I sang a lot with her live.
Hmm.
I don't sing as much on the recordings, but I guess I would probably start singing live again if we ever play again.
Yeah, that's
true. We started like the outdoor rehearsals, which I think people were doing, and it was great at first. And then after a while, it's like, well, now
it sucks. yeah, it doesn't work so much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they always kind of turned into like a barbecue and drinks, and you know, Dan come out and. It's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I miss playing live.
Yeah.
I hadn't played drums in so long before that, too. So that was really nice. Very therapeutic for me.
Yeah. And you put out Gal Grayson's record last year, which was one of my favorite records of
I did.
Last year.
It's a great record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only his tweets were as popular, or if only his records were as popular as his tweets. No. Low blow. Not.
No, I know he nails it on those tweets once in a while. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I think his record did okay. Like,
yeah, I love that record
no one's
so
doing
much.
Doing anything, but what's that?
I love that record so much. And Scott Loheed, who did the design of your recent LP, also designed that record.
Yep.
And it's beautiful.
That's why I met him.
Yeah,
yeah, he did a really good job. And it'll be nice and glossy, a nice tip on sleeve. All very classy at jazz.
Yeah, very classy. And you do all your own, like you do your mail orders and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I do use Revolver in the States.
Okay.
Who, in theory, will distribute it throughout the world. But, no, I do most of it myself.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm not the best, like, promotion, you know, guy, as you can tell by my tweets and how many followers I have. But, you know, I know that I have a few spots I, you know, take records to. And
you have your niche.
They seem to do okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta, you know.
You have,
it's a little harder right now for some reason.
Yeah. You have your valet to get records up to CITR and that kind of thing.
That's right. Now, who's going to take the new Cyrillic typewriter if your station's shut down?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Fuck.
People are, yeah, it's getting played. but yeah, the record itself will not get played for a while because the station won't be open until probably next summer, so.
Next time we'll all be getting on the floor then. play my record.
So the movie is coming out next year. Anything else exciting coming up? Any other records that you'll be putting out through jazz other than your
just
latest?
Because of, you know, all the time I had, you know, starting in March, I actually recorded another album that I'm now... mixing and editing. Actually, I had Paul Ridley play. I don't know if you know Paul.
He
played a lot of pedal steel on it.
He lives just down the street,
kind of,
but I don't really know him. I,
oh,
I see
right,
him at
yeah,
the playground,
yeah,
but
yeah,
he's
yeah.
a neighbor. But I we don't we've exchanged words, but I don't really know him too well.
Right.
But yeah, he seems like a great musician.
He's a pro.
Fun
like you
guy.
Know, he plays
yeah.
with Nico and stuff like us. But yeah, so he came in and for one day and laid a bunch of tracks down. I kind of overworked him a bit, but no, hey, he was there. I was like, yeah, I want to play on a song, sure. And then it turned into like, no, seven songs. But it was fine.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So that's going to be ready. So I think if all goes as planned, I mean, my record and Nick's record are kind of slated. Not any time in particular, but
right.
I'm sure mine will be done in a month or so. And his is already done. You know, we just have to work out the I know he's a machine, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's insane.
You know,
I mean, I love to play new stuff from him on my show, but then it feels like I'm playing a song every other week.
Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah, that's how you get the attention. Yeah.
Numbers.
There you go. All right. Well,
that's about it, I think.
Yeah. So people should look out for your new record. And
I'm getting copies hopefully in a week.
Oh, yeah, like the physical copies. Yeah.
Yeah, they were a lot later than planned. So I'm hopefully getting either the end of this week or mid next week, and then I'll get them out to whatever stores are still around.
Yeah. And so it's called Permanent Colors, and you can stream it now on Bandcamp. So check that out. Any song that you'd like me to play? Any highlight from the album that you'd like to hear?
Highlights. Well, I like it all. I mean, Torn Pocket is probably the nicest, and that's the first one.
Okay.
They're a bit long. Those are definitely the longest songs I've done.
Yeah, well, they're
epic for me.
Yeah, no, Landscape is that's a tight 3:40 one, but yeah, they are.
No, that's true. And The Usual Daydream is also very, very short.
But yeah, where did the longer songs come from, or what?
I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like a song a lot. I have, you know, I lose like. I just get I get anxious and I just do a song that's 2 minutes. Oh, this is great. I don't want to bore anyone. So it's like, but then I realize later, it's like, you know, I could have actually made that way longer. It's a nice little thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd be patient.
Yeah.
And see it through.
See where it goes.
It kind of worked out nice.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, I'm always impressed when people do like a whole side of the song. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I'm yet to. But I guess that's the next step.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know if you listen to the microphones, but he did a whole 40-minute song earlier this year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Phil Elverum. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So no, yeah, the whole record is one song, both sides.
Cool.
Yeah, something to aspire to, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when Nick and I was in that Nick band playing opening for him at Christ Church Cathedral.
Oh yeah.
No, that was a nice time.
Yeah, that was a lovely time. Yeah.
Yeah, the grand piano. That was cool.
Yeah. I miss live shows.
Especially live shows like that.
Yeah.
Like in a big church. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of missing it too. I mean, I wasn't going to a ton of shows, but it's nice to have the option.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's give a listen to Torn Pocket. And anything you want to add before we wrap things up, Jason?
No, I think that's about it.
I was going to ask you about Sparrow and Attics and Cellars and Zampano. Any reflections on those bands, or the past is the past?
I keep finding photos of Zampano. And do you remember that band Glee? I keep finding photos of that too.
Well,
Glee is pre-Zampano.
I was reading up a little bit about Zampano. So this was your band in the late 90s. And I didn't know about Glee, but it came up as I was reading about it. I saw you.
I didn't document more of the Glee stuff because it was a pretty crazy time band-wise and like Vancouver-wise, all the clubs and weird illegal venues and stuff that we played.
Yeah, that was definitely before my time. I saw you play at the Starfish Room with Zampano, but Glee was just a little. I was in high school, so I wasn't one of the cool kids going to the illegal venues.
Yeah, I was pretty young venues. Too. Okay, I'm not.
No.
I was 10. No.
But so Glee was a band that you started in the early 90s then.
Yeah, exactly. And Mike Ledwidge from Zampano was in that too. That's how we actually met Carl, because he was a fan.
Right. And then
back in his Superconductor days.
Right. What would you must
so
have seen Superconductor live. You must have seen Superconductor live back in the day.
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing in a way. I mean, they all had various efficiency on their guitars, so it was kind of like a big noise, but that was actually made it better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those guys worked at A&B Sound. You remember that store?
Yes.
And so a lot of A&B Sound people would tend to, like, they were there. Like, so I kind of got to know all those people too.
Right.
It was really weird. Almost everyone worked there for some reason. I didn't, but
yeah.
I guess that was a place that was easy. If you knew someone and they all got jobs for each other there, I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, that seemed to be like an epicenter.
Yeah.
And it was right beside Track.
Yeah, right. I remember, like, A&B Sound had terrible. The cheapest CDs in the world, apparently. They were all Lost Leaders. And
really?
That was what I heard. Oh, right. Like, they were all, like, 10 bucks, and they were so much more expensive elsewhere. So you'd go there, and then I'd go to, yeah, I mean, every now and then I'd try to go to Track Records and find something that I knew about. But Track was a great record store as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I miss those kind of places.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should do a little documentary film, but forget it. We don't want to do that.
I don't know. There's an audience for it. I'd go watch that. Or the Sugar Refinery, right. Like stories about the Sugar Refinery.
Totally.
That was like really the blossoming of my interest in local music, going to the Sugar Refinery and places like that. And it was such a wild
time. What about the first Crew Elephant? The first Crew Elephant, the one on Granville.
I never went to the Crew Elephant.
I think the hotel was a California Dreamin' or something. I can't remember what the place is called, but there was a lot of really cool shows there too.
Yeah.
That would be like 1991 or I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Again, I was only 10 years old. Okay.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Thanks so much, Jason. And check out this new record by the Cyrillic Typewriter entitled Permanent Colors. And from that record, this is the lead-off track. This is called Torn Pocket.
Thank you. Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Child of the kindly waste, lay your head on my breast and we'll burn. Neglected, oily sea, and enter the mountains. It's where the kitchen witches hide. Where the mountain side, did you receive the message I sent? In a bottle late last night in my dreams, it sent out red, but the cipher is lost, so I tell you instead, it read, is there still room?
Around and around and around and around.
Right, that was Sparrow from 2003 with the song A New Way of Smiling. Before that, we heard Hello Blue Roses from the new album Wild Nights, released earlier this year. That was the song Child of the Kindly West. Before that, we heard a previously unreleased song by Jason Zampano from a 2010 installation at the Vancouver Art Gallery that he did with artist Shane Amon. That was the song The Lofty Trade of Letters. And at the top, a very lengthy tune by the Cyrillic Typewriter from the new record Permanent Colors. That was the song Torn Pocket. Thanks to Jason for chatting with me. It was really fun. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm going to close out with a live track, as I have been the last while. This is Channels 3 and 4. They have a new, it's from a while back. It was recorded in January 2013 at Roy G. Biv, but it's a live set that Deer and Bird are putting out. They're putting out a bunch of great stuff. I'll play some Twin Crystals next week that I didn't have time for this week. But this is Channels 3 and 4 live. This is the new live EP of Channels 3 and 4, and this is the song Big Sleep. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.